Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. Our Lord Jesus Christ gives us comfort for and preparation for the mission that he is about to send his disciples on. The gospel lesson today reels us back into the moments right before Jesus is crucified as he imparts his last teaching to his disciples. We celebrate it now, we read it now, because it is also forecasting for us what life is going to be like after he ascends into heaven, after he goes to the Father, what that all means. And so here in this last half of the Easter season, we take hold of the words of our Lord over the course of three chapters, 14, 15, and 16 of John, to take a look at what he promises when he promises to ascend into heaven and send us his Holy Spirit so that we can be his people now and forever, so that he can be with us even while he is with the Father, and so that he can bring us to the Father and give us rest. In these moments, he has gathered his disciples apart from all the rest of the world. It's time to talk just with them for a little bit. All of the public ministry is complete. All of that is done as he raises Lazarus from the dead. That's his last public sign. Now he's gathered his disciples and he has washed their feet. He has told them that he is going to the Father, that they are not going to follow him now, but that they will follow him eventually. Now, at first, they imagine that he's talking about his crucifixion, and so they're confessing for him that they are ready to die with him, even though they are going to denounce and betray him as well. But patiently, and as their master, as their Lord, and as the one who loves them dearly, he begins to unfold for them what life is going to be like for them after the crucifixion, after even the resurrection, what their life is going to be like once he is ascended to the Father and they have received the Holy Spirit, and why he needs to do that so that they can be empowered for that work, as well as have the promise that they are going to be with him both now as he ministers in, with, and through them, as we see in the book of Acts, but also that they are going to be with him forever. Death intervening, not being a problem, not be a problem for Jesus. And so he recounts for them this promise and gift so that when they see him die on the cross and when they have the need on a daily basis for picking up their own crosses and following him, that they won't be afraid, that they'll be comforted to know that this was all part of the plan. This is all within the wisdom of their Lord Jesus, who loves them dearly, and that they will be with him always because he is with them. So why is he going away? Don't let your hearts be troubled because I'm going away. Trust. Trust in God and his promises. Trust in me and my promises, because my first reason for going away is to prepare a place for you. To prepare a place for you. Have you ever imagined that this world is not quite as comfortable as you'd like it to be? I get that feeling on a regular basis. This world doesn't quite fit. It doesn't quite fit me, and perhaps you might find, too, it doesn't quite fit you either. That your place in this world seems like it always feels like, I don't know, about 3 inches to the left. And it's not quite right. There comes a time when we're finally at rest, finally at home, to be face to face with our Lord Jesus Christ and to finally be with the Father and to be together with all of his people, all of you here included, and all the rest of God's people from first to last around the globe, and to finally be at rest, at peace, in a place that finally fits, as snug as a bug in a rug, and as comfortable as a glove that you've worn all your life. A peace that passes all understanding. Jesus is going in order to prepare that place for you. If he stays, he can't do that work. It's the next job he's given to do. I'm going to prepare a place for you, and I will come again. The promise is on the last day, he will come. And that place with your name on it, that place with your reservation all ready to go, that place with the mint on the pillow and the covers turned down and the pillow fluffed up just right is ready for you. A place to be at rest. He himself is the way to get there. He himself is going to show them over the course of these next 3 days what it's going to look like to go there. He's going to be rejected by the world completely, and yet in the confidence of the Son of God and as the Son of Man, he's going to go to his cross, he's going to die, he's going to be buried, and he's going to rise again. That's the way. That's the way to the Father, through death and into his resurrection. Just like Jesus did. So it is with him, so it will be also with us, with the very promise that because he lives, we shall live also. Thomas isn't sure which the way is, but the Lord Jesus lays it out for him. I'm the way. Trust in me. Trust in me and hold on to me, and everything you see me do, you will do as well. And it'll be fine. Because when you die with me, there's a light at the end of the tunnel. It's the light of my resurrection and the light of your resurrection. I've got you. I've got you right here in the palm of my hands. Well, wouldn't it be nice to see God as a sign that all of this was true? Wouldn't it be nice to just have a chance to sit down with them ahead of time and talk with them and kind of ask a few questions and see if it all pans out the way we would hope it to. Show us the Father, and that'll be enough. Jesus points Philip and us right back to the signs that he's already provided. Philip, you saw the water be turned into wine, didn't you? Yeah. Philip, you saw the man by the pool of Bethesda and how I healed him so that he was no longer crippled, didn't you? Yeah. Philip, you saw how I fed the 5,000 and even more so, how there was that much more left over at the end, didn't you? Oh, yeah. Philip, you saw how I walked on the water and you thought I was a ghost, but then you realized who I was, didn't you? And I got into the boat with you and we came across the sea. Oh, yeah. Philip, you saw how I raised Lazarus from the dead after I healed the blind man of his blindness, right? Yeah. Well, that's the Father working. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you've seen me, you know what the Father does. He spreads before you the banquet that never ends. He opens your eyes so that you can truly see not only him, but me and the rest of the world around you with clear eyes and clear vision. to see it even from his perspective as he provides his Holy Spirit and that wisdom. He provides life, the resurrection and the life, right here, right now, with me. Okay, so there is no separation between the Father and the Son as far as that goes. To see Jesus is to see the Father. To have the gifts of the Holy Spirit and to see Jesus clearly because of our baptism, because we are washed in him, because there is no separation now between us and Jesus, then we are together with God himself. Show us the Father, but here I am. You've seen me, and so you've seen the Father. See, know, love, trust, follow, and you'll be right where you need to be. You'll be with me, and I'll be with the Father, and our fellowship will be one together. All of us together. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. If not just because I say so, take a look at what you've seen me do. Take a look at what I've done for and then what I'll do through you. Eventually this will come to a head in the gospel lesson we heard just a few weeks ago. When Jesus raised from the dead appears to his disciples and finally also even to Thomas, who in taking stock of what Jesus has accomplished, all of the signs he's shown, and including his own resurrection, calls out, "My Lord and my God." And that's our confession too, that Jesus himself shows us all things, including the Father. Just as Jesus does what the Father describes for him to do, so also now we do all of those things that Jesus describes for us to do. And so again, there is no separation between the Master and his disciples. We walk with him and he with us. And that's why we've come today, hasn't it? Isn't it? To walk with him and to have him walk with us. Even to come to the altar of God and to feed on him. That we can have life in his name. Just as he's promised. You eat my flesh and drink my blood, and I will raise you up on the last day, for you are my own. And so we come, and so we believe, and so all the things that are done will be done in and through and by him, through us. When we're doing what he would do, we ask in his name and trust that he is of the Father and the Father is in him and he is in us. When all of that is working just so and just perfectly, ask whatever you want in my name and I will do it. All of these things will be done just as they need to be because I will still be working in and through you. Jesus goes not to go anywhere, but to be with us everywhere and every when. He goes to the right hand of God the Father Almighty so that he can exercise his reign and rule as the King for you and for me, for us as the people of God gathered together as his church, so that all things done in his name are done perfectly, just as he would want them. And so he doesn't go in order to be gone. He goes so that he can be at Concordia Bourbon, just as much as at Faith St. Robert, or certainly with the Christians in Jerusalem, or in Athens, or certainly in Rome, or even in St. Louis. God bless all of his people as the Lord Jesus reigns over all of them, guides, keeps them, and reminds them of these promises that where he is, they will be also, that there is always, always in his house a place for them. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you now and always.